the ongoing revelations coming out of FIFA. And it's hard actually to probably keep up with exactly what has been going on, the latest sort of twists and turns and developments. But we're really pleased to be joined on the line now by former sports minister and now retired MP, Jerry Sutcliffe, who was part of the bid that England put in, of course, for the 2018 World Cup. So he has a good understanding of the inner workings of FIFA from that point of view. Jerry, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, we're good. I mean, we're still a little bit startled by just what has actually happened over the last week or so. And I just, to get your reaction on what you've made to what's happened at FIFA.
Well, it's been an amazing week, you know, from the fact of Blatter being re-elected and then the resignation and then all the outpourings of various things from not least, Chuck Blazer and now Jack Warner. It really has blown the whole thing wide open, which I think 10 things is a good thing, but it just depends now how it manifests itself in terms of what the way forward is. How do they get to clean up the organisation, and how do we get world football back on an even keel?
So many things are coming out now, but from your workings with FIFA, your dealings with Seb Blatter, can you sort of describe exactly what they were like? What was it like sort of working with FIFA?
I went to Zurich with David Treisman, who was then the chairman of the Football Association. This is before the bid, to find out what the process was going to be. Was it going to be open and transparent? And of course, he assured us it would be. But very, very soon into the process, it was clear that it wasn't going to be, and that leading members of the FIFA executive expected to be paid. You know, and that was something that we weren't ever going to do. And suffered from that in the end by only getting the two votes that we got.
So, did you feel, Jerry, it was a, you know, it was clearly a game or a setup that you weren't prepared to sort of play a part in?
Well, exactly. And the problem for us was that, you know, we came back. Everybody at that time was excited about us getting the Olympics and the variety of other sports that we got the go-ahead for. So football seemed to be the obvious one to go for. And, you know, we knew we hadn't to be arrogant about football coming home and all that sort of thing. But we thought we stood a good chance, particularly when Blatter said we had a good chance. But as it transpired, wasn't to be the case. When we complained, it was, it's the English complaining again. And he tried to turn everybody against us. There were internal inquiries, but they were held by FIFA. And even the Garcia report that was done by FIFA wasn't published in the end. So I'm glad that outside agencies such as the FBI and the Swiss authorities and now our own serious fraud officer are looking at these things.
Jerry, I was at Elland Road when the announcement was made, because of course Elland Road was one of the stadiums sort of bidding host stadium for the World Cup, and how stunned the room was. I'll never ever forget that. And we kind of all suspected something, but didn't know. Why do you think it's taken so long for this to all sort of come out and come out into the open?
Well, because I think they were an organisation that believed they were bigger than countries, that they thought they could do anything they wanted, and nobody had the power to undo that, which was, on the whole, true. They thought they were outside of the law, and they thought they could get away with it, and have got away with it over a number of years. So the good news is now that that's no longer the case. The difficulty is that we don't want breakaways, we don't want splits, because it's important that football sticks together, because the developing countries need as much support as anybody else in terms of football development.
And Jerry, this is all starting to unravel now. We've had various different stories come out over the last few days. The one yesterday regarding Ireland and the Thierry Henry incident. Well, what do you make of that? And what do you think about the depth is, these different stories are all coming out regarding different organisations?
Well, it needs to come out. And, what I wonder about that is, why settle for $5 million if you knew you were right? You could. Lots of people were upset by that decision, and it was blatant handball. And it goes to the heart of the game about rights and wrongs. And if football is supposed to be a role model for children and others, it's got to be done properly, hasn't it?
Jerry, at the time, were you ever tempted, or were you in a position where you were almost going to sort of blow the lid on certain things that you knew?
We tried to. We spoke to our own FA, who were in control of our bid. We spoke to UEFA, but nobody could unlock the key, if you like, with the FIFA, because they just kept it within their own bounds. And as I say, what Blatter did after we were unsuccessful was to try to indicate that it was the arrogant English trying to stir things up.
What was the most shocking thing that you can recall, Jerry, from your time in dealing with FIFA?
The fact that individuals thought that they were entitled to large sums of money to win the right to vote for the World Cup. It was, you know, unacceptable.
And there were the things that had to be done. I mean, I remember England going over, went over to Trinidad and Tobago, didn't we, to play a friendly game?
Yeah, we did those things. I mean, and that could be called into question, but at least we thought they were the right things to do. Mm. But, you know, it wasn't anything near what actually went on in terms of the bribery and corruption that's now coming to light.
So what next, Gerry? I mean, you know, everyone's kind of...
Well, the only thing that I think is a bit of an issue is, you know, the people are homing in on Qatar, but it seems that all the previous World Cups, whether it's Russia in 2018, Brazil, you know, South Africa, were all compromised. And I just wonder why the people are concentrating on Qatar at the moment, because it's an easy target. And I think the Middle East deserves the World Cup. Okay, it was the wrong place to pick in the summer at 40 degrees, but they can run a World Cup. And there are issues around the number of people that have been killed in Qatar, you know, building some of these stadiums. And I think that rather than try and take it away, it might be worthwhile sticking with that, because the Middle East could do with an uplift, you know, in terms of football brings people together. There might be an opportunity here.
One of the things that has been suggested by the media over here is that England step in to host one of the World Cups. Greg Dyke's come out and said that he doesn't think that he's ruled that out today. But would you be of the same opinion of Greg?
I don't think you can do that. I mean, I know we could do it if we were forced into it and that had to happen. We could host it without too much trouble. But as I say, I prefer it to remain in Qatar, even with the problems that have been there, to you know, then get FIFA to sort itself out internally. You know, with the you know, little people sorting it out to make sure it gets to where it needs to be.
I mean, FIFA, you know, I've learned a lot about FIFA this last week, Gerry, that I wasn't aware of. I'm not talking just about the revelations, but certain other aspects with regard to their running. You know, they're meant to be a non-profit organisation. They've got £1 billion in the bank. The issue now, and you touched on it earlier, is about what happens next. We don't want a split doing. Can we envisage a situation where major European nations might go in one direction, Africa, Asia want something different?
I think that would be a great mistake, and it would ruin football, because the joy is that emerging nations are getting investment in now. I've been to South Africa and seen the investment that's gone into grassroots sports, so it's important that that continues, and what we don't want to see is the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer.
Yeah, how difficult in terms of the reform, Gerry, is that going to be going forward, because obviously we've seen the revelations coming forward, but then we've also, you know, seen that Sepp Blatter has had a lot of support from a lot of different organisations because of the money FIFA gives to Africa and places like that. So in terms of going forward, and you know, these countries now being used to getting that kind of money, whether that's right or wrong, can you see problems ahead in terms of reforming FIFA?
I certainly can. I think it's going to be difficult because what's the process? How do you get it sorted out? Who are the right people to bring in is what needs to be looked at. I do think there's a role for politicians here. I mean, on the whole, I always agree that sport and politics should be separated. But governments have to give guarantees now on World Cup bids, on security, on infrastructure. And the sports ministers in Europe have now got the competency to discuss sport. So it might be that you know, a number of sports ministers need to come together to give advice to whoever's new in FIFA how, you know, the standards should apply, open transparency.
Yeah, Gerry, I know you're retired from politics, but can we rule you out of running for the presidency of FIFA?
I think so. I think that it needs to be an international leader that does it, and somebody that's got some, you know, standing in internationally. I've left Westminster, but I've not run out of politics yet. I still want to do a lot on devolution for Yorkshire. I think that's the next big issue for us. But certainly FIFA and whoever runs FIFA needs a lot of support.
But while we're on that subject, Gerry, Greg Mulholland, of course, Leeds MP, Liberal Democrat, he spoke today, you know, about a Yorkshire mayor, devolution from that point of view. You think that's something that is realistic?
Yeah, I'm very much... you know, see that as a way forward. I think they've done it in Manchester. I think we need to be bigger than just West Yorkshire. I think it's Yorkshire and the Humber. We're 6.5 million people, bigger than Scotland, you know, and I think that the powers that need to be devolved so that we can support our own infrastructure. And, you know, they keep talking about a northern powerhouse. Well, let's see the reality of it. You know, you need for a powerhouse to work, you need the batteries, so we need the investment.
Yeah, Gerry, we wish you all the best with that. Of course, I think we're all behind you on that front, that is for sure. And who knows what will happen with FIFA.